From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? It is Wednesday, May 13th, 2015, and you are tuned into Current Sports with me, Al Martin. Hopefully you all are having a great hump day out there. We've got a great show filled with not just one, but yes, two guests today, folks. It's going to be a loaded show as I'll be chatting with Troy Matlock, who is the new head coach for the Lansing Eastern football program. You don't want to miss that chat as Troy will dive into his plan on how to change things around in the land of the Quakers. We'll also be chatting with Chris Gandy of Those Detroit Guys, Gandy and Irv Sports Podcast. This podcast is growing by the day, folks. Chris will talk about the origins of it and just about the cool notion of sports fans out there having a voice in the internet realm and allow, you know, podcast just allowing that realm and that door to be kicked down. So you don't want to miss that. Chris will join me as well on the back end of our show. We'll also take your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. We'll talk a little Tigers, a little Jameis Winston. We're still talking Jameis Winston, folks. And as well as Jim Harbaugh on the cover of Sports Illustrated. All of that and so much more. But hey, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this May 13th. All right, let's start with a little bit of recruiting news concerning the Michigan State football team. Defensive back Austin Andrews of Columbus, Ohio, who went to St. Francis de Sales High School, and athlete Jonah Morris of Akron, Ohio, who went to Archbishop Holman High. They both visited East Lansing on Tuesday and gave pledges to Michigan State football coach Mark D'Antonio per their Twitter accounts. Now, this brings the class of 2016 to 9 verbals, 7 of them since April 22nd when quarterback Messiah DeWeaver of Huber Heights, Ohio, started a surge. The rest of Michigan State's class consists of running back Abdul Adams, offensive lineman Matt Allen, linebacker Joe Bocci, receiver Cameron Chambers, tight end Noah Davis, and receiver Justin Lane. All right, and former current sports intern and Michigan State wide receiver Andre Sims Jr., who received his journalism degree on Friday, has been granted a release from his scholarship. He has 1 year of eligibility remaining. Now, Sims had 13 career catches and 27 career punt returns while playing sparingly in his first 4 years. MSU coach Mark D'Antonio said in a release statement that Sims is, quote, a quality person, and we wish him the best of luck. And also, of course, Andre, being a former current sports intern, on behalf of all of us here at WKAR, we wish you the best, Dre. Take care, my man. All right, senior multi-purpose player Dennis Norfleet is currently suspended from all football team activities at Michigan due to academic issues, and that's according to multiple sources. Now, several media outlets reported on Tuesday that Michigan coach Jim Harbaugh, he dismissed Norfleet from the program. Two of Norfleet's former high school coaches said the university has yet to make a final decision on the shifty multi-purpose athlete's future in Ann Arbor. Another source confirmed he has not been dismissed from the team at this point. So a lot of he say, she say right now. We'll see how that story pans out. All right, folks, well, the Diamond Classic is almost here. Yes, the opening round and quarterfinals of the Diamond Classic will take place next week at Kircher Municipal Park. Now, the semifinals and finals are slated for June 1st and June 2nd at Cooley Law School Stadium. Grand Ledge, Lansing Catholic, DeWitt, and East Lansing are the only teams in this year's field that have won the Diamond Classic. So on Monday, DeWitt will take on Lansing Catholic at 5:30 p.m. The second slated game is Hazlitt versus Portland St. Pat at 7:30 p.m. Now, on Wednesday, Mason will take on Portland at 5:30, Fowlerville versus East Lansing at 7:30. On Thursday of next week, Grand Ledge will take on DeWitt or Lansing Catholic. And then the second game will slate St. John's versus either Hazlitt or Portland St. Pat's. Again, keep it locked to WKAR.org and Current Sports TV, as we will have wall-to-wall coverage of each and every game at the Classic next week. All right, Troy Matlock accepted the head football coaching job at Eastern High School last week. He replaces William Young, who held the job for just 4 days last month before the Lansing School District withdrew his offer due to a background check. Now, Matlock, who had spent the last 15 years coaching football and most recently worked with the Sexton program under coach Dan Bogan. I'll be chatting with Troy in just a sec. You don't want to miss that. All right, the Detroit Tigers, they topped the Minnesota Twins last night at Comerica Park in walk-off fashion in the 10th inning. 2-1 the final of that one. Ian Kinsler hit one to shallow center field to drive in Anthony Gose. The Tigers are one game in back of the Kansas City Royals for the AL Central Division lead. The Detroit Lions, they have exercised a clause in safety Glover Quinn's contract to restructure his deal and create salary cap room for the second straight year. Now, the Lions, who entered this week with the least cap space in the NFL, they converted $3,755 million of Quinn's $4 million base salary into a signing bonus. Now, Quinn will earn the other $745,000 in base salary. And Braylon Edwards, a Detroit native and former Michigan wide receiver who played 10 seasons in the NFL, was arrested for driving under the influence of alcohol last week in Scottsdale, Arizona. That's according to TMZ. Edwards was pulled over in the early hours of May 4th and had a blood alcohol content of more than 0.20. All right, well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on any of those, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Without further ado, it is time to start the show.
A game in which a pitcher doesn't give up a single, double, triple, or homer. Aaron.
What is a no-hitter?
That's it. Answer, the other daily double.
$2,000.
All right. Here's the clue. One-third of shark species are near extinction, partially due to human appetite for the soup named for this shark part.
What is the fin?
That's it. And with that, you wind up at $12,800. Aaron is looking pretty happy now. Did he come up with the correct response?
Nope.
What did he write down? Who are Ernst and Young? What piece of equipment do you see there? Motorcycles. Who are Harley and Davidson? Who are Harley and Davidson? It's going to cost Aaron some money, but will it cost him too much? No. He is the winner today. His charity, the Mac Fund, will receive $50,000.
And that is how we start the show, ladies and gents. How about that, huh? Aaron, that's what they call it. That's his nickname, at least, right? You know, the whole, you know, the famous Key and Peele show skit, I guess. And, you know, that was Aaron Rodgers, quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, on Jeopardy yesterday. Now, Rodgers bested Kevin O'Leary of Shark Tank and Mark Kelly on the trivia game show with a final score of $8,399, which means that $50,000 will go to the charity of his choice, which happens to be Midwest Athletes Against Cancer, Childhood Cancer. That's what Yahoo Sports is reporting. But how about that? Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers winning Jeopardy. And, you know, Jeopardy's one of those shows I've always, you know, kind of flipped the channel on. And you know, anytime it's just been on my TV, you know, I've tried my hand at answering a few questions here and there, and I don't think I've ever gotten a Jeopardy question right. I mean, that show was pretty tough. So for Aaron Rodgers to go in there and handle business and to get the W over Kevin O'Leary and Mark Kelly, that's pretty impressive stuff. So hats off to Aaron Rodgers. He had a lot of fun on that show as well. If you want to catch the visual of that, it is all over social media and the internet. So you don't want to miss that, folks. It's a fantastic look, okay? Aaron Rodgers did his thing on that on Jeopardy yesterday. So again, folks, we got a fantastic show in store for you. Again, we will also be talking the Detroit Tigers. We'll talk a little bit about Jameis Winston, as a former Florida State head coach had some choice words concerning Jameis's off-the-field issues. So we'll tell you who had those thoughts, and we'll debate about those thoughts. And pretty really not much debate, because we all know Jameis Winston's off-the-field issues have certainly garnered a lot of attention, and that's the big reason why Jameis Winston has a lot of question marks as to his NFL future. He's a heck of a player, but can he stay disciplined? We'll also talk about LeBron James as well. LeBron James leading his Cleveland Cavaliers to a big win over the Chicago Bulls. LeBron James was just simply magnificent, folks. So you don't want to miss any of that. Again, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I want to invite our fantastic engineer of WKR's Current Sports on the show right now, Isaac Constance. Isaac, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well. I can't believe this weather, though. Wait, isn't it supposed to be summer?
It's supposed to be. You know, and that's in Michigan for you, man. And, you know, yesterday I had to bring out a jacket again. You know, it was like 70 degrees last week, and now it's back in like the 40s today. This weekend is supposed to be, you know, it's supposed to warm up, highs in the 80s throughout the weekend, but it's supposed to, you know, rain on both days, I think. So that's Michigan spring weather for you, man. You just never know. You always got to come prepared, and I even have my Scully in here just in case something crazy goes down, all right? So, yeah, but I tell you what, though, you know, I found this story quite intriguing, though, Isaac. I was browsing the net, and, you know, as soon as I saw this story, one immediate thought entered my brain, and I said, uh-oh, that's exactly what I said, because when people see this story, or when people who are subscribers to this publication go to their respective mailboxes or happen to be in the grocery store looking at the shelves, and they see whose face is on the cover of Sports Illustrated, you better believe that Spartan fans are going to be a little bit uncomfortable and maybe a bit angry. And that's because Jim Harbaugh will actually don the cover of Sports Illustrated this month. Now, I haven't gotten the issue, but I've seen it online. You know, I was just browsing the net and saw it on Twitter first. And then on Facebook, a lot of people were posting it and giving their thoughts. The people that I saw, of course, being graduates of Michigan State, a few of my buddies, and they did not like it whatsoever. But, you know, how should Spartan fans feel, you know, to see Jim Harbaugh, a guy who has not coached one game yet in the college football realm as the head coach of the University of Michigan, but he's on the cover and the hype machine is turned up to 20 right now. What do you think about that, Isaac?
Well, I think they should have a right to be a little bit irritated, a little bit irate by the decision of Sports Illustrated, because Jim Harbaugh has yet to coach a college football game for Michigan, yet he's getting all of this hype, all of this press that D'Antonio does not get, despite leading the Spartans to a Rose Bowl, then a Cotton Bowl, both victories. I do think it's a little bit ridiculous, a little bit blown out of proportion.
And I'll tell you what, that's what the media does, right? Because this is a sexy story nonetheless, because, you know, you got a big name in Jim Harbaugh who's had a lot of success in the NFL. You know, he coached a Super Bowl, for goodness sake. And then he leaves the NFL to come back and you know, come to his alma mater and coach the University of Michigan. And he's being done as the savior out in Ann Arbor. So this is a very intriguing story. He's already been profiled by ESPN. We actually even saw him on Draft Academy giving Jameis Winston advice, and Bryce Petty for that matter. And then, you know, HBO Sports did a feature on him, you know, just kind of going back into his childhood and showing where he grew up in Michigan and just talking about his dreams as a football coach and whatnot. I mean, the hype machine is turned up, you know, times 20 right now, as I stated, on Jim Harbaugh. And, you know, you better believe that, you know, has Mark D'Antonio ever been on the cover of Sports Illustrated?
I can't think of a time.
I don't know. And, you know, the reason why it's such a big deal, because, you know, come on, guys, we know Sports Illustrated is like the sports magazine, okay? I mean, I remember being, as a kid, collecting Sports Illustrated issues because, you know, growing up a big sports fan and just going through the magazine and saying, wow, you know, my jaw on the floor because, you know, the amount of covers that they have. So, so not only will Ronda Rousey, MMA star, she will also down the cover in parts of the nation, but here in the Midwest, you better believe that you will be seeing Jim Harbaugh's face coming to your local newsstands very, very soon, or respective mailboxes. So, and I do believe, yeah, they got a reason to be a little bit salty, because again, he hasn't done anything yet, but yet, you know, he's being plastered everywhere. So whereas Mark D'Antonio, who's had a track record of success, especially in these past 4 years, 4 to 5 years now, and I don't think he's graced a cover once throughout that span of time. So, yeah, I think they got a legitimate gripe here, to be honest with you. Again, folks, the phone lines are open, 517 515-9527, 517-355-9527. I want to remind you all that there is no Current Sports TV, ladies and gentlemen, this week. We are preempted this week. And next week, though, I'll be chatting with Al Manfroni. Does that name ring a bell? Well, Al is the new head coach for Michigan State's Intramural Football League. I kid you not, folks. Actually, I'm a little bit jealous because I wish that they had an intramural football league when I was in college. But they don't. Didn't exist at all. But Al has been hired as the newest head football coach for Michigan State's, you know, I don't think it's the first ever intramural football league, but it's pretty cool stuff. They actually even held a combine and a tryout for students who wanted to come in and try out for the team. And it's going to be serious stuff, folks. So Al will join me live in our Current Sports TV studios next week, Wednesday. You do not want to miss that. Sit down. Again, all you got to do, folks, is simply go to WKAR.org to sign up online for free and show on up right on Wednesday, because we changed our time for the summer. So it's not going to be a 6 p.m. taping, folks. It's going to actually be a 3 p.m. taping. So, again, that's next week on May 20th. So mark down your calendars, folks. All right. Well, let's get to our guests for today's Current Sports. Pretty exciting stuff. Especially if you have any ties to Lansing Eastern High School. But it was announced last week that Troy Matlock accepted the head football coaching job at Lansing Eastern High School last week. Now, he replaces William Young, who held the job 4 days last month before the Lansing School District withdrew his offer due to a faulty background check. Now, Matlock, who has spent the last 15 years coaching football and most recently worked with the Sexton program under head coach Dan Bogan. Troy is on the line right now. Troy, how you doing, and welcome to the show.
All right. I'm doing all right. Excited. How you doing?
Definitely. I'm doing fantastic. Well, thanks a lot for joining me today. Now, first off, Troy, I got to ask you, when did you pounce on this opportunity? I mean, was it right when you heard about, William Young losing a job after just 4 days? I mean, when did your eyes kind of widen and say, hey, I'm going to try out for this thing?
Well, actually prior to that, applying for the job, but of course my eyes was wide open once they declined his offer, or he declined the offer. Whatever happened with that situation, I'm not clear, but I seized the opportunity.
Yeah, you certainly did. Now, again, for those out there that want to know more about your coaching background, because I'm actually getting tweets as we speak that want to know about your past as a coach in the coaching realm. Can you sort of just give the people just a brief synopsis of that?
Well, I started out 15 years ago in the high school ranks with Coach Marcel Carruthers at Ever. He actually hired me as the head freshman coach and offense coordinator, and then I followed that up with the JV defensive coordinator for the JV team at Everett. And then when Dan Bogan took over, we grew up together, good friends, and I transferred over there to coach with him, and I coached at lower levels throughout the last 5-6 years, but offense coordinator for the JV team. And, you know, if they never see me on Fridays, because usually I'd be in the booth while varsity is playing.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, for you, Troy, looking at the situation, going back to, because I find this relationship quite intriguing, but the relationship between that you share with Dan Bogan and yourself, I mean, Dan, of course, guided Lansing Sexton to the Division IV state championship game last year. I mean, where does that relationship have its roots with you two?
Like I said, I knew him in high school. We were rival. I was at Everett, and he was at Eastern. I always remember playing football and running track against him, but once he hired me in or accepted me over at Sexton, we always talk about family at Sexton. So when I was over there, and it still remains to that. So he's a good mentor and a good friend.
Yes, certainly. Now for you, I mean, when did you, when did that, I guess you can say, that head coaching varsity football bug started itching you? I mean, how long have you had varsity head coaching aspirations, Troy?
I believe I'm just like any coach. Anytime it pops up within the area, you kind of think about it and ponder it and see it, and look deep inside yourself if that's something for you. And when the Eastern job came up, I just thought it was a good place for me to get over there and get started.
Now, during your time, again, spent with Marcel Carruthers, who's the head coach of the Everett football team, and as we just mentioned with Dan Bogan, I mean, what have you learned from those two individuals that have made you a better coach, you believe?
They always believe in, both of them actually believe in commitment and hard work and having aggressive, fast teams, and both are known to be physical and have physical teams and play smart. And that's what I'm going to preach and teach over at Eastern.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are talking with the newest head coach of the Lansing Eastern football program, Troy Matlock. Now, Troy, talking about this program that you are, again, taking over now, the program hasn't had a winning season since 1997, won a combined 3 games in the last 4 years. From the outside looking in these past several seasons, what do you think is the current state of this football program?
Well, first thing, I'm familiar with Eastern's past, and they always had a good school tradition and talented players and dedicated fans. And all we have to do is get everybody on the same page, and not just the coaches and players, but also the strong alumni base they have and the teaching staff and all the students in the school. It's just trying to get them all to play as a unit, because when I look at them across the field, they play hard. You know, they never stop playing in the game regardless of what's going on, and the fans have always been supportive. So it's just about reining in some of that talent and just put a better or bigger stamp on it.
Get them
convinced they can win.
Right, exactly. That's my next point here. I mean, do you think it's more of a mental thing? Because when a program, you know, goes through years and years and years, you know, again, just 3 wins in the last, you know, 4 years, I mean, that can do a lot of harm to the mental state of the kids that play on the football program like that. How do you get this team to believe that they can win?
Yeah, I just started talking to them about everybody playing together, and I would inform them about Easter's tradition, because Eastern has a strong, rich, proud tradition. Mm-hmm. And they've always been known, when I grew up in the 80s out here, been known to play strong, hard football over there, and just try to get them to stay focused and stay together.
Now for you, Troy, coming into a situation like this, is it a bit intimidating at all, or do you like the notion of really just having a fresh start to really start to rebuild that foundation at Lansing Eastern?
I believe in a fresh start. Change is good. I always believe that. And it's going to be – I'm going to embrace the challenge. So it doesn't bother me much. You know, as long as I have a strong coaching staff, which I'm starting to assemble hopefully this week. I actually made some calls today trying to see what's out there, who's interested, and what I want to do. And like I said, I'm going to embrace the challenge. It's just go well. The kids seem excited. I met them and talked with them on Monday. And they seem pumped and looking forward to moving on. You know, we was talking about moving on to the next. Forget about whatever else was going on. And it's going to be exciting, though.
Now, Troy, speaking of that coaching staff that you are trying to assemble right now, I mean, who's on board as we speak, and who are you trying to grab?
Like I said, I just actually started making some calls today.
Gotcha.
I really did.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I gotta know, what are the realistic expectations in your eyes? I mean, you know, should we give it 2 or 3 seasons before we start to see Eastern football truly return to form? Or, I mean, are you trying to make the playoffs next year, win a state championship next season? I mean, where is your mindset with that? Because I know at the end of the day, everyone's a competitor.
Yeah. well, you know, first off, we gotta evaluate the players and the talent. And make sure that everyone has a chance to contribute. But the outlook just to get, like I said, get everybody together and play hard and fast and being physical. So that's my first thing, is getting everybody in that weight room. We got to get it going right now.
Yeah, certainly. Now, you know, I find this aspect to your background quite intriguing, Troy. Again, you're a 1985 Everett graduate. And I believe you're even an Army War veteran. You know, talk about that background.
Yeah, I was in the service back in 1989 through 92, 93. And I went over to Saudi Arabia, Iraq. I served over there for like 10 months. And it's something, you know, military background, I believe in order. So first things first is getting out there and evaluating the kids, and I'm going to try to instill some of that repetition military is known for repetition. I want the kids, once we get the offense, defense to lingo down and make sure the kids, we're just going to rep all day. Because in the military, I was an armor, basically a weapon specialist, and breaking down machine guns and putting them back together. And I used to be able to do it so fast because we repped it daily, every day. And that's what I want them to be able to do, get comfortable in the system right away.
Wow, that's unbelievable stuff right there, Troy. Now, were you involved in any combat out there when you were out there overseas?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, I was.
Wow, unbelievable
yes,
stuff.
I was. When the war first started, we was in Saudi Arabia, and the war started. We went across Iraq, and it was on.
Wow. I think I speak for everyone here at WKAR when we say thank you for serving our country, Troy. I mean, that is truly remarkable stuff, my man. Now, and again, you know, having that Army War veteran background, again, will you run this program with the discipline that the Army instills in oneself? I can only imagine, right?
Yes, of course.
Right.
It's all about discipline and commitment. That's why, and playing as a unit. You know, in the Army, we play as a unit.
That's right, buddy. Gotta love that. All right, Troy, before I get you out of here, what are the first steps looking like, my man? When do you get them out on the field? What's the training regimen going to look like this summer and so on and so forth?
Excuse me, I didn't catch the last part.
What's the training regimen going to look like for your kids throughout this summer? When do you guys start preparing?
Oh, we're trying to start up next week in the weight room and conditioning. We're trying to get it going already. They was ready this week. When I was talking to them, they was pumped. When I started talking about the pace of the game and what we want to do, a strong passing attack and pound the ball. They was excited. I even heard a couple claps. They all shook my hands on the way out and told me their name. And you know, they're real polite at introducing themselves, and they seem excited.
That's fantastic stuff, Troy. And have you talked to Marcel or Dan upon your hiring? And if so, what have they told you?
Oh yeah, I spoke with Dan briefly after, and He was excited and happy for me, and I was glad he was happy for me. He thought I was a great choice, and, you know, I told him I was happy he was giving a lot of kind words about me and moving on. He thought he thinks I'll do well.
I
haven't speak with Marcel yet.
Oh, you haven't talked to Marcel yet? Okay.
No.
And when you are on those sidelines and eventually have to meet up against Sexton or Everett, I mean, what's going to be going through your mind when you see your buddy that you used to work with across the field, you know, and you're competing against him? I mean, what's that feeling going to be like for you, you think?
We're going to try to win. Hey, it's just like when I used to play football in high school, you know, once the helmet going to go on, it's a new game.
It's on, right?
First to the last whistle.
I love that. Well, hey, Troy, on behalf of us, all of us here, congratulations. We wish you all the luck in the world. And, hey, we'll see you on the sideline soon on the heels of next season, all right?
All right. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Again, folks, Troy Matlock, the new head football coach at Lansing Eastern High School. Fantastic stuff. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will talk about the Detroit Tigers. Big win for them last night in walk-off fashion in the 10th inning. And we'll also talk about a certain former Florida State football coach who calls Jameis Winston an off-the-field embarrassment. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to WKR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. If you're just now tuning in, you just missed a great chat with the new head football coach over at Lansing Eastern High School, Troy Matlock. Of course, Troy is taking over the program, a program that hasn't been great throughout these past few years, actually only 3 wins in the last 4 seasons. Their last winning season happened to be back in the 90s. I believe back in, was it 1997, I believe, is the last winning season they had. You know, so Troy trying to take over this team, and I think he's going to do a great job. He seems like he has his head right on his shoulders, and he has an incredible coaching background. And, it helps when you have incredible mentors like Marcel Carruthers and Dan Bogan. So looking forward to seeing Troy on the sidelines and doing some outstanding things with the Quakers. Hopefully he can turn things around there. Again, folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You know what, Isaac, what is your favorite? Because, I'm a big fan of ESPN's 30 for 30 documentary series. And, I have a lot of DVDs at home and, DVDs from the 30 for 30 series that I bought, and a lot of them saved on my DVR right now. I constantly I'm on Netflix watching back left and right ones I haven't seen before. If you had to choose, your favorite, give me your top three 30 for 30s, what would they be?
Okay, so you caught me on the spot. This is tough.
It's tough, right?
There's so many good ones, but my number one has to be Guru of the Go.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I love that one. Loyola Marymount basketball team, Hank Gathers, dies of, what was it, congenital heart failure?
Yeah, something like, I think he had an oversized heart, I believe.
Yeah.
He falls out in the court, man. That's a riveting one.
It is. And then I like the 12th man, the story about the South Africa rugby team.
I haven't seen that one.
That's a must watch. It's like, have you seen Invictus?
Yes, I have seen Invictus, yeah.
Okay, it's a real documentary about that.
Okay.
Let's see what else. I like the one about, I like the Allen Iverson trial as well.
That was really good as well. Yeah.
That's what about you?
So those are your top three?
Those are my top three.
If I had to choose my top three, it would probably be, I got to put the U up there. I have to put the Fab Five up there. And let me see. One more. If I had to choose one more. Oh, boy. That's tough. Maybe the one on Maurice Claret I just watched.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I forget the name of it, but that was a fantastic one. It showed the dynamic between, of course, former Ohio State running back Maurice Claret and Jim Tressel, who was the head coach at the time. But, going back to the Fab Five, though, it's interesting because, I love the documentary, and it showed how, the U of M men's basketball team back in the 90s when they had, of course, Chris Webber, Jalen Rose, those guys, they were fantastic. They were fantastic. And they were the first guys really in basketball to wear the baggy shorts and to get away from the tidy, pants that they used to wear back in the day in basketball. Even to don, they were the first ones to don the black socks and made that a kind of a cultural thing in basketball as well. But it was so interesting because Chris Webber, who was a fantastic player for U of M, he declined to be interviewed for that documentary because, he always says the past is the past. He's not revisiting it, so on and so forth. And I found it quite interesting because I don't know if you were watching last night's broadcast, but it was a banter between Chris Webber and Marv Albert. And they were having a lot of fun with it, actually. They were both in joking fashion here. During the game, I believe it was the Bulls and Cavs game, they had a flashback look at what happened over the weekend when LeBron James hit that game-winning shot to propel the Cleveland Cavaliers to that win in what was that, Game 3, I think. And, they kind of froze it on a moment where, I don't know if you saw this, but David Blatt goes out there, doesn't realize that the Cavs don't have any more timeouts, and he tries to call a timeout. Like, you can see him making a motion. Thank goodness for assistant coach Tyronn Lue, who grabbed David and was like, hold on, brother, we don't have any more timeouts here, because the penalty if you do call a timeout or try to call a timeout when you don't have any timeouts in the chamber is it would be a technical foul. So the Bulls should have, if a ref would have caught that, and the refs totally blew it because they should have caught it, and the Bulls should have won that game, but it would have been a free throw for the Bulls, they would have taken the lead, and they would have gotten the ball back, and they probably would have gotten the foul by the Cleveland Cavaliers, and they would have went to the line and possibly won the game. So a big, big mistake, but, Marv Albert brought it up. They showed the footage, and, of course, we all know what happened to Chris Webber back in the day, right? The famous call, in the NCAA tourney, March Madness, Chris Webber doesn't realize his team doesn't have any timeouts. He calls a timeout. They don't have any left. Michigan loses the game. Cost him a national championship, right? And Chris has always been salty about that moment, but, him and Marv were bantering about it back and forth. He's like, yeah, that's pretty unfortunate. Was pretty fortunate for the Cavs that didn't have a timeout, because and then Chris Webber's like, well, I wish that I had a teammate back in the day that would have grabbed me when I went before that happened to me back in the day. And it was just a hilarious banter. But Chris Webber has taken shots at the Fab Five documentary. This is the first time that Chris Webber has decided to issue some comments on the documentary. And the former Michigan star was actually on the Dan Patrick Show this morning. And, there's actually video of this interview as well. And, he's talking about the NBA playoffs since he's a current analyst on TNT for them. But Dan decided to ask about TNT colleague Marv Albert and the teasing of Weber about Cleveland Cavaliers coach David Blatt's phantom timeout the other day. And, one thing led to another in the conversation. He went on to say, quote, "I know that the Fab Five documentary makes it seem like, oh my goodness, I'm so scared to talk about it." Then Weber goes on to say that I've always tried to embrace it. Now, Patrick followed up by asking about the Fab Five 30 for 30 film that Jalen Rose got together for ESPN. Weber noticeably absent from it, just as I alluded to. Weber goes on to say, quote, "I love the guys, but I just think there was so much missed there. I think it was okay, except I think it looked like, you know, what happens. A lot of people after they retire or when they're looking for a job or when they want to be relevant, they go back in time and kind of make sure their importance is really known." Wow. That's a jab at Jalen Rose.
Shots fired.
That's some shots fired at Jalen Rose, I think. Then, it doesn't stop there. He goes on and he says, quote, "My thing is it's always been about us five. So when one guy has a million highlights of himself, as if he was the leading scorer, and all the stories are like embellished, it's just a little hard for me. But I think it was entertaining. There was a lot of truth in it. I think it was definitely good. It was okay." Wow. And you know what? This is such an odd connection between these five, especially when you look at the bond that Jalen Rose and Chris Webber once had back in the 90s during the Fab Five era, Isaiah, because I think that they were by far the most entertaining group of college basketball players that we've ever seen. I mean, from the way, they carried themselves off the court, they became a cultural and pop phenomenon. And I just think it's kind of like, when a group of rock stars, I like to compare it to the music industry, when you have like a music group, right? And there are, notably, one or two guys that, that are just stars. In the Jackson 5, it was Michael Jackson, right? You always have, maybe that one or two individuals in that group that when they recognize that somebody may be the creme de la creme of the group, they get a little salty about it. And I think Jalen Rose and Chris Webber respectively has always thought that those two were the straw that started to drink at the end of the day. But it's so interesting because, again, as that documentary goes on, it's well documented about, the Ed Martin scandal, the booster scandal, how the Fab Five and members of the team felt as though back in the day, they were entitled to some moolah because there were other entities profiting off of their popularity. But I just thought it was very intriguing, man, because, just to see those two, even after all these years, there is still a bit of awkwardness between Chris Webber and Jalen Rose that I don't think will ever fully be embraced. Let's go to our phone lines right now. Online, we've got my man Apachu. Apachu, how you doing? And welcome to the show.
I'm doing it, man. I appreciate it. I want to make a couple comments on 30 for 30. I agree with you, man. That's an incredible, incredible series.
Yeah, isn't it?
I want to do my top three.
Yeah.
But I want to say something about Mr. Harbaugh in Michigan. Last year, remember, I was the one guy that was against him coming to Michigan, and I thought my fear was that he would be bigger than the game. Mm-hmm. And it's very evident that he is. I wanted Chris Peterson from, I think he's at Washington, used to be at what's the name? They got that Bluefield.
Boise State.
I'm sorry, man. Boise State. Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, I didn't get my way. I ended up with Jim Harbaugh. And I, wait a minute now. I had eat crow. You know what, man? It tastes good. I'm enjoying it, man.
Right, you're enjoying it. So you like the hype machine right now? They're surrounded by the program. It's good branding, isn't it?
Yeah. You know what? The Big Ten is now the best conference in football in the entire country because of the coaching staff that they got. And they all got personalities that are very powerful, and they got issues and so forth. And I absolutely love it, man.
Right.
You know, like you said, they ain't won a game yet in Michigan. They've already given them the throne and everything else. But I'm looking forward to the season.
Right.
You know, like I said, crows taste like chicken. That's all right.
Right.
You know?
I like that saying about you. I may steal that, just letting you know.
Hey, the other thing is a 30-on-30. My absolute favorite, man, is 40 minutes of hell.
Oh, that's a good one.
Arkansas. Man, right. That was powerful. That had me crying, brother. That was just very, very powerful.
It's one of my
the racism
too,
that
Pasha.
He encountered at the college level and the way the media used racist slurs and stereotypes
mm-hmm.
and the way they named his kind of basketball and so forth. It was very, very powerful. And the other one was Bernard King. King was a very powerful story, too, man. That was a beautiful story.
Right.
And then the third one is the Fab Five. And,
right.
You know, what I liked about the Fab Five was what they said about Duke, even though Duke never lost to Michigan, you know. They called Duke the B word and Uncle Tom. They called Hill Uncle Tom.
Yeah, Grant Hill. Yep.
Grant Hill. I mean, you know, man, I hated Duke so much when he came to the Pistons. I couldn't stand him.
Why is that? Why?
You know what, man? There's a saying the former Prime Minister of England said, you can judge a man's greatness by the amount of enemies he had. That's how great Duke is.
Right.
You know, they got a lot of haters, man. If you want a lot of haters, get great. You know, I felt the same way about Notre Dame for years, and then they went downhill, and I don't hate them anymore, you know.
Right, exactly.
If you ain't on top, if you ain't the one on top, well, you hate the one on top, you know. Tom Brady is a Michigan boy, and
yep.
I can't hate Tom Brady right now, you know, because he's a Michigan boy. But I'm honest about my prejudice and so forth, you know.
Right, right.
By the way, the blemish thing, man, it ain't gonna be no blemish. I really think in the end he might have the last laugh.
You think so?
I really feel that way. I really feel that once he gets his turn involved. Even though the NFL is a private organization and so forth, you can't tell me that law is not going to play an angle in this. You know, even though you're a private organization, you still are subject to certain laws and certain regulations and so forth. So it's going to be interesting, very, very interesting. Mm-hmm. Did he cheat? Evidently, he did. Did other quarterbacks cheat? Well, they said many of them have said, you know, I do that all the time. And
mm-hmm.
the idea of having your own ball for the game and so forth, I mean, that's part of the problem. It all falls back on the NFL, and it all falls back on the way the commissioner took care of that situation where that guy beat his girlfriend, now wife, in the elevator,
right.
And the way they handled that. So now they're trying to restructure their standards, and they're trying to restructure their image, and they painted themselves in their corner. And it's really the NFL that's in trouble. You know, I think Brady's going to be all right. Brady is a great quarterback. I'm surprised how many, championships they won and so forth. And they got a great team. They're a cheating team, evidently, man. But, you know, the blemish ain't going to hurt him. It hasn't hurt these other players. I see Rodriguez is blemished, too. But, you know, what did he have, $100 million?
Yeah, I know, right? You know? Yeah, he's rolling the dough.
Blemish, man?
Hey, yeah.
Dude, I'm poor and I got blemishes. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather be rich. I'd rather be rich than have blemishes, man.
Yeah, but, yeah. Right.
Anyway, man, interesting topic today, like always.
Hey, thanks a lot, Apache. You always a fantastic call, my man. And yeah, I agree, and I have to agree with Apache. I think when you look at the dynamic of Tom Brady and any scandal that goes down with an athlete, the way you shut people up and the way you make them forget is just by doing what you've always done, being great in your respective sport. I think Tom Brady is going to continue to be one of the best quarterbacks in the league for a few years to come. And that's the way you shut up the haters. That's the thing. I always go back to the Kobe Bryant example. Back in Colorado, the way Kobe Bryant made people forget about that scandal is by being the best player in basketball. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we'll be chatting with Chris Gandy of Those Detroit Guys, Gandy and Irv Sports Podcast. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Yo, 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 welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin, on this hump day. That's right, Wednesday, May 13th. Again, folks, we do not have a current sports TV taping tonight. Just throwing it out there because I'm getting tweets and emails as we speak. But again, folks, we will be back at it next week, Wednesday. We're moving our time up from our usual 6 p.m. tapings up to 3 p.m. And I'll be chatting with Al Manfroni. Yeah, this is going to be a pretty good sit-down, folks. A very interesting interesting one. Not your usual interview, okay? Al Manfroni is actually the head coach of Michigan State's, I believe, first-ever intramural football team. Isaac, did you try out, my man? Like, wide receiver or something? What's up, dude? No? He's shaking his head. He's eating. Isaac is eating an apple. That's why he's not. That's why he's not chiming in right now. But man, I wish they had that back when I was in college, okay? But, again, if you want to be a part of that live studio audience, all you got to do is go to WKAR.org and sign up online for free. Again, that will be a 3 p.m. taping. And later on that day, I'll actually be booking it back down to Detroit to talk to the Detroit Free Press journalism program. So that should be a very busy day for me. But definitely looking forward to it. Also, before we chat with our guest to close out today's show, our second guest to close out today's show, I want to give a special shout out to all of the Emmy-nominated individuals in TV in the state of Michigan. The nominee of the award, Emmy 37th award nominees for the Emmys in Michigan were announced this morning around 10 a.m. And we have a few colleagues here at WKAR that have been nominated, including our very own Ken Meerly and Tim Zico. Shout out to those two individuals. Fantastic job, guys. I actually had the privilege of being nominated for an Emmy for Current Sports TV last year. It's a fantastic event. They roll out the red carpet for you. I was just honored and humbled just to be amongst a lot of great individuals in the world of TV. So congratulations to those individuals, including our very own Tim Zico and Ken Meerly. All right, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. This is going to be a fun interview, folks. Two engineers from Michigan bring you a sports podcast covering professional and collegiate Michigan teams. Now, they want to provide you content to talk more confidently at the bar, at work, or among friends about your favorite Michigan sports teams. Now, every Wednesday, they post a new episode available for download and streaming. And today, we have one of the co-hosts of this very podcast. Now, his name is Chris Gandy. He has Southern roots, Detroit Lions raised, and is a Michigan State alumnus that provides an, quote-unquote, unbiased sports commentary on Michigan University athletics. Now, Gandy has lived in Houston and Chicago, Chi-Town, and when the day comes for him to book his Detroit Lions Super Bowl tickets, don't hold your breath on that one, Chris. He will spare no expense to have a seat in the building. Chris Gandy of Those Detroit Guys, Gandy and Irv Sports Podcast. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show, and Al, I'm very impressed and soon to hear you being announced at the award for one of the top talents here in Michigan.
Oh, thanks a lot, Chris. I appreciate it, man. Hard work certainly pays off. But yeah, I had the opportunity. I was nominated last year, and I was going up against the likes of Tom Lydon of WXYZ TV, Justin White, excuse me, of Fox Sports Detroit, and Shannon Hogan of also Fox Sports Detroit. Shannon Hogan ended up winning the award, but just to be nominated for an Emmy, man, it's certainly humbling, brother. But enough about me, man. I want to talk about this fantastic podcast that you and Irv have put together. It's fantastic. I tune in when I can. Again, I want to talk about the origins of the podcast, though. How in the world did the idea come about, Chris?
You know, Josh and I have like you shared earlier in the pre-show, kind of talking about it, you know, two engineers. So we've known each other since middle school, and growing up, we've always competed, whether it's sports, whether it's grades, whether it's girls, but we've always been the two guys that have always generally called each other and talked to each other about the Lions, the Tigers, you know, what happened in the games. And one day we were watching, I think it was the NFL draft. I shot him a text. I said, "Hey, I would love to do broadcasting, but I don't have the time to do it. You know, I can't do it full time, but have you ever thought about a podcast? Cause you know, we can get a voice in the community. We can also have a voice in the sports world, and we can give our take and our spin on everything." Right. So we could kind of be like an Al Martin. That's our goal, is to be somewhat like Al Martin.
Right.
That voice that fans want to go out and hear what we think and have our take on the sports world. Because, you know, like you said today, it's a challenge to get time to listen to every sports media out there. There's so much data, and we hope that fans would just tune into the show every Wednesday on the website at thosedetroitguys.com.
Yeah, and you guys do a fantastic job, Chris. Now, the relationship that you share between yourself and Irv, who is a Western Michigan graduate, I believe, his parents both graduated from Michigan State. His uncle, I find this tidbit of information pretty cool, his uncle even played alongside the great Bubba Smith in the 1966 Rose Bowl. How about that? Talk about the relationship between you guys two, and how that comes through the airwaves.
Yeah, Josh, and we're very, very different people, too, in the sense that, you know, we both grew up in Kalamazoo. Josh chose Western, I chose Michigan State. Both chose engineering. But we look at things differently. So I went into the sales function a couple years ago, and, you know, I'm a little bit more outspoken. Josh is very calculated and very opinionated and strong to his read on things. So we tended to argue on certain topics. You know, one of the big ones was the Tom Brady piece.
Right.
We talked about it this week in the podcast, and I thought Brady should have got suspended for 4 games. Josh thought 4 games was way too much. You know, he complained when Sue got suspended for some of those games when he stomped on the guy.
Right.
He's not a big fan of suspension. He doesn't think that that players actually gain a bunch from suspensions. You should really hit them in the pocket, whereas I think you just take athletes off the field. And that really hurts them more than the money at the end of the day for me. So
right.
Josh and I have always had that conflicting thought process on the way we look at things. But it's a fun experience. Every Wednesday you get to talk to one of my good friends and put together a great show for the fans.
Yeah, that's fantastic stuff, Chris. And you know, I always say, man, you know, when talking about talk sports radio, you know, people don't want to tune in and hear two guys that agree on everything. I always say, you know, healthy debate is always great debate, you know, and you know, when you have two conflicting views, you know, at the end of the day, when those views come together and come to a solution somewhat, it's always fun for the listeners out there. So I definitely agree with you there. Now, what makes Those Detroit Guys different from other sports podcasts out there, Chris?
Yeah, great question. You know, number one, we like I said, our mission is to have a voice in the community. So last week, I actually went out with a group of students from Michigan State University, National Society of Black Engineers, and went and spoke to a middle school class about the importance of education and going to college. So we are doing some things in the community to set ourselves apart, not to just be a podcast and have a mic. You know, there's always that the story that he's just a radio guy. We don't want to be just a radio guy. We want to be out in front, just like what you do at Current Sports.
Mm-hmm.
You have a medium where you have folks come see you perform live in studio, and I love that. And we want to get out in the community and work with kids and teach them the importance, because we had a great upbringing. We had the ability to get into college and perform well, but we want to inspire kids to do more than just watch TV, do things outside the box, like start a podcast. Not many people I know out there in Detroit are doing a podcast, and I thought it was something fun that we could do and showcase to young kids that there's many opportunities out there. Chase your dreams and your passions and try to make some money off of it.
I love that message, Chris. Again, folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Chris Gandy of Those Detroit Guys, Gandy and Irv Sports Podcast. Now, you know, I want to talk about this dynamic as well, Chris, just how the internet and avenues like podcasts allow sports fans to express their opinions in different ways. I mean, just talk about that dynamic, because I believe over time, that evolution has really, you know, coupled with social media like Facebook and Twitter, it's allowed anyone out there to have a voice. And I love that notion as well.
And it's great, right? You know, the thing I really brought home with this was, as a Detroit sports fan, you know, we have the Detroit Tigers. They're a sexy team right now in the major leagues, right? Mm. You have the Detroit Lions, who are starting to become that sexy team, right? The Wings have always been that team that has been publicized as, we're hockey town. But at the same time, Detroit's an underdog city, right? And we don't always get the big stories. We don't always get front page news, right, on ESPN and some of the major networks.
Mm.
But when you look at it from a fan perspective in the state of Michigan, there's no team out there bigger than our Pistons. There's no team bigger out there than our Lions. our Tigers, our Wings. And we want to be able to get more data and information from folks that are spending time and energy to dig up and analyze games. So the ability to bring a podcast out to fans and talk specifically about the sports that they love and care about is what I enjoy and I'm passionate about. Having the Facebook account we have, the Twitter is very active, Instagram, our website, those sports mediums, platforms, help us reach fans and grow. Facebook is becoming this big business, Twitter as well, where you actually have to invest in yourself and invest in your brand. And it's a form of marketing, right? It's not just you're getting on and turning the microphone on. You're really running a business and developing a marketing strategy and just reaching fans of the show and building a brand, which I love.
Yeah, that's certainly true. And Chris, you and Josh are off to one fantastic start. Before I get you out of here with only 4 minutes left here, really quickly, I want to get your quick thoughts on the Detroit Lions and the way they performed in this year's draft. Of course, Lincoln Tomlinson, Amir Abdullah, Alex Carter, Gabe Wright, Michael Burton, Quandre Diggs, and Corey Robinson. What would you give them, if you had to grade them, you know, what, A through F, Chris, what would you give them as far as grade-wise and why?
Oh, great question. And actually wrote an article about this on our website at thosedetroitguys.com.
Yeah.
And if you click the blog page, you can see the article. But I gave the Lions a B minus. And that was just a hit on them not addressing wide receiver in this draft. I thought this draft was a very calculated draft by Martin Mayhew and company. I thought it was phenomenal trading back, getting Lincoln Tomlinson, a guy that was first-team All-American, first-team All-ACC. People want to knock ACC guys, but he was a first-team All-American.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to bring ferocity to this line. He's going to bring stability. He's going to bring a running game. He's going to shore up the middle, and that's what Joe Lombardi likes. So I thought with the first pick was a home run. And the second pick, Amir Abdullah, another big pick after losing Reggie Bush. But I scratched my head with the Alex Carter piece. There's like 3 YouTube videos on this guy. There's not a ton of film.
Yeah.
He's a big guy. You know, he's projected, I guess, in that round. But I wasn't all that comfortable with that pick or the fullback. The fullback in the 5th round could have addressed receiver there.
Right.
Golden Tate was our main guy last year. Calvin had a little bit of an injury bug. People that sit out there and say Calvin's over the hill and he's on his decline, I think you need to go out and have a heavy glass of water and rethink that. I think you need to consider this guy is still a top 5 receiver in this league and will dominate this year. So look out for that. But I really like the draft on the back end. Quandre Diggs was a big one. I love the pick.
All right, there you have it. The one, the only, Chris Gandy, again, of Those Detroit Guys, Gandy and Irv Sports Podcast. Again, folks, all you got to do is go to thosedetroitguys.com to catch all things Gandy and Irv. Chris, thanks a lot for joining me today, my man. Great job.
No, much appreciated, Al. And next year, I hope the Pistons can reach that 45-game submission that you said on the podcast.
Wasn't I off on that one, dude? Yeah, you would bring that up. thanks a lot, Chris.
Close.
I was close.
You were close, but thanks again.
Hey, no problem, my man. We'll be in touch, dude. All right. All right, folks. Well, we unfortunately are out of time. Thanks again to Chris Gandy and also our other outstanding guest on today's show, Troy Matlock, the new Lansing Eastern head football coach. And thanks to all you out there for tuning in. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have a fantastic Wednesday. And be easy, people.